Today on Broadway for Tuesday, December 13th, 2016, I'm Broadway World's Matt Tamanini.
And I am Broadway Star's James Marino.
James, you better not pout. What is it? How does it go? You better not shout. You better not pout. You see, I don't have kids, so I don't understand all these songs, but...
Oh, you better not pout. You better...
Yeah, that's... Yeah. So, we were just talking before we started, when we were doing This Week on Broadway, it was so funny when Peter Felicia reminded you that Christmas is in like less than 2 weeks and you freaked out because you did not think you you thought you had more time than that. So I hope that you have gotten yourself semi-organized to get ready for Christmas, especially considering that you have two kids to help Santa get presents for.
Yeah, well, I'm all set up. I only have two people left on the list to buy for. That's you and Kelly O'Hara.
Well, me, you've already taken care of me, so we don't need to go there. But Kelly O'Hara, we're going to talk about her, James, because last night was a big night for concert performances in New York City. First was the Roundabout Theater Company's star-studded benefit concert of Kiss Me Kate, starring your one and only Kelly O'Hara, Will Chase, Robert Fairchild, Helena York, Norm Lewis, and a cavalcade of other stars. Neither of us was invited, obviously, but I am really hoping that there are some videos released soon because this cast is incredible, and Kiss Me Kate is one of those all-time classic shows with Cole Porter's iconic, wonderful song. So I'm hoping we get some sort of video coming out of Roundabout from that one. James, knowing, as you previously mentioned, your stalkerish level of love for Miss O'Hara, I'm kind of surprised you didn't pony up the cash to be there.
How do you know I'm not broadcasting from Studio 54 right now?
You could be in one of the bathrooms at Studio 54. It would be nowhere near the craziest thing to ever happen in a bathroom there. That's for sure. Stop with the sniffing. You either have some blow or you're Donald Trump in a presidential debate. Anyway, the second concert of the evening will most certainly have video because it was live streamed on Theater Mania, and that is the reunion concert at Town Hall for last season's bluegrass musical Bright Star. Original cast members Carmen Cusack, Paula Alexander Nolan, AJ Shively, Hannah Ellis, Stephen Bogardis, Dee Hody, Stephen Lee Anderson, Emily Padgett, Jeff Blumenkrantz, and more performed at it, and co-creators Steve Martin and Edie Brickell hosted the event and performed songs from the show as they are wont to do. We will have a link to the live stream article from Theater Media over in the show notes at BroadwayRadio.com. But, you know, James, we have to talk about this. Monday nights are kind of like the weird night where you get all these crazy concerts and charity events and benefits because it's the night that most Broadway shows are dark. So if you're in New York just for a Monday night and you're thinking, man, all the Broadway shows are off, or you know, maybe there's a couple, I think Chicago's running, there are usually a dozen or so really cool events that you can find in New York City, and last night is obviously no exception.
Sure. Monday nights are, you know, you just have to check out the message boards at Broadway World or listen to us. In fact, here I am plugging somebody else.
Works for me.
Either way, you win.
Yeah.
Monday night is always a great thing. There's lots of things expensive and inexpensive to to go see. I'm wondering if maybe if Broadway HD left some of the cameras on over at the roundabout and they could just press record.
Who knows? Like I said, I was not a huge fan of the live stream that they did, but when they turned it around for the movie theaters, they obviously did that one right. So I'm hoping maybe they got some good footage of Kiss Me Kate. It'd be another great way for Roundabout to make some money since that was a benefit concert.
Absolutely. All right, so next up, Broadway does well in the Golden Globe nominations.
Yeah, well, last night might have been concert night in the Broadway community, but yesterday morning was Golden Globe nomination day over in Hollywood. But that doesn't mean that the two didn't intersect because Broadway was well represented across nearly every nomination category. First off, probably the biggest headline is that both Lin-Manuel Miranda and Benj Pasek and Justin Paul were nominated for their work in Moana and La La Land, respectively, in the best score category. Lin-Manuel Miranda was also featured in the best song category, although I think that is just the song. I don't know that there are actually nominations attributed to the writers, but those things are all weird. Kenneth Lonergan's Manchester by the Sea and Robert Shankin's Hacksaw Ridge were nominated for best motion picture drama. La La Land and Florence Foster Jenkins were both nominated in the best comedy or musical category. Emma Stone, Annette Bening, and Meryl Streep were all nominated for Best Actress in a Movie, Comedy, or Musical. And Denzel Washington was nominated for Best Actor in a Motion Picture Drama for Fences, obviously in the role that won him a Tony. Also, Tony nominee Andrew Garfield was nominated for Hacksaw Ridge in that same category. Viola Davis and Michelle Williams were also nominated as Best Supporting Actresses in Fences in Manchester by the Sea as well. Down in the TV categories, Jeffrey Tambor, Rachel Bloom, Sarah Jessica Parker, Courtney B. Vance, John Turturro, Tom Hiddleston, Bryan Cranston for All the Way, Sarah Paulson, Felicity Huffman, John Lithgow, and many other stars with theater roots were nominated in those various categories. Also of note, a theater-related production that didn't get a whole lot of buzz. I think we mentioned it once or twice, but The Dresser, which was a TV adaptation on the Starz network of the 1980 West End and Broadway play of the same name by Ronald Harwood, was nominated in the Best TV Movie category. It starred Sir Ian McKellen and Sir Anthony Hopkins. So that's one to keep an eye on if you haven't seen that one. Maybe take a look over the holidays. We will have a full list of the nominations in the show notes at BroadwayRadio.com. And the aforementioned Kenneth Lonergan and Damien Chazelle were both nominated for Best Motion Picture Director for La La Land and Manchester by the Sea. So there's pretty much theater connections in just about every category, as it should be, James.
Okay. So I am not well-versed in the ways in which Hollywood operates, but maybe you could help me here.
I will try.
So these Golden Globe nominations were put out, and, you know, Moana and La La Land came out relatively recently, but is Fences in the theaters yet?
It is not. They nominated it
before it was out?
Yes, but the people who nominate for the Golden Globes is the Hollywood Foreign Press, and they get advanced screeners for everything that is going to be considered for award nominations purposes. And that's also the same for Screen Actors Guild and the Academy Awards. All of those people get screeners, whether they've been out before or not. But these things are well planned. The timing to be considered for these awards, you have to be released in the movie theaters by the end of the year. So everything kind of pushes to find the right date. I believe Fences actually comes out on Christmas Day. So to make sure that they're in the nominations for all these various sundry awards, they send out screeners. I know a number of people who have seen screeners of Fences. I have not gotten one because I'm not actually a nominator, but maybe someday I'll see that one before it comes out. But yes, it's not out in theaters yet, but plenty of people who have various nomination responsibilities have already seen it.
All right. Well, I'm very excited for Fences, so I wanted to see if I had missed it in all the flurry of all the fall Broadway openings happening there. And I'm tremendously looking forward to Fences. That's going to be very good. And it's exciting. Lin-Manuel Miranda might get an award.
I think he's I hope he wins a ton of awards. I think he's with the way that La La Land has been received, even though, as I've said on here, I was kind of lukewarm on it. I think La La Land is the favorite in some of those categories where they're up against Lin in some of those score and song categories.
Well, I was just kind of more joking along the lines of Lin-Manuel Miranda needs another award.
Well, kind of like, well, he's just that. He's just the O from the EGOT.
Yeah. That is true. So, you know, these advanced screeners helping people get nominations before the actual project is in the public eye. I wonder if they could do some sort of advanced screeners for Broadway as well. You know, bring everybody over to a bunch of nominators' apartments and put on a few scenes.
I think that's called the preview period, but who knows? maybe if they could set up cameras, if Broadway HD could set up cameras so people who live outside of New York didn't actually have to go and could just watch the show from the comfort of their own home, maybe things would be a little different.
Well, you know how it is. You know, Hollywood had such a problem controlling the screeners when they were out on DVDs and mailed mailed around. Now that they're direct downloads, it's much tighter.
Mm-hmm. And they've all got forensic watermarks and stuff on them as well.
All right. Tell us about last week's Broadway grosses.
Well, James, you'll remember that last week saw some substantial declines at the box office across Broadway following the Thanksgiving holiday. Well, fortunately, Broadway rebounded quite a bit as collectively the Great White Way's 32 shows were up 8% in total gross week to week, despite the fact that they were down a show following the closing of the Cherry Orchard. In fact, the week was so strong that every single show on Broadway except for In Transit, which had to contend with opening night and press comps, was in the black. Furthermore, 12 of the 32 shows saw six-figure increases. Both Hamilton and The Lion King saw grosses above $2 million last week, with Hamilton on top. They were joined in the $1 million club by Wicked, Aladdin, The Book of Mormon, The Front Page, Jersey Boys, Natasha Pierre and The Great Comet of 1812, Beautiful, School of Rock, and Paramore. The biggest jump by a show that wasn't above $1 million came from Dear Evan Hansen, who, following its opening week, increased $217,000 to put it at $975,000. Dear Evan Hansen was also one of just three shows above 100% capacity. Book of Mormon was one, Dear Evan Hansen was two, and Hamilton was three. In terms of gross potential, Great Comet almost lapped the field with nearly 125% of gross potential last week. It was followed by Wicked, Mormon, Jersey Boys, and Hamilton, all above 100%. A Bronx Tale continues to do well, bringing in its highest total yet at just over $913,000. Holiday Inn also had its best week yet at $783,544. Kinky Boots, with new-ish star Todrick Hall, had their third best week of the year at over $922,000. And finally, James, a lot of the shows that have announced closings for the next few weeks as the calendar changes from 2016 to 2017 also did pretty well. Matilda was the first show outside of the seven-figure club. Fiddler on the Roof pushed $900,000. Something Rotten, The Color Purple, and Falsettos also all did fairly respectable totals. So I know this time of year is good as the holidays come, getting closer, but I think this was probably even better than a lot of people expected.
Yeah, this is the time of year to harvest your crops because the cold is rolling in. Mm-hmm. And January will be a vast and barren wasteland other than, I guess, the only thing happening in January that I think of is Broadway Con.
Yeah. So, well, let me ask you, James, I didn't ask you this ahead of time, so I know you're not, like, you didn't do a lot of research on it, but just in general, how many shows do you think will announce a closing early enough for maybe another show to take their theater that haven't done so already? I mean, I think we know that there's a number of shows that are closing either at the end of December, like with Fiddler on the Roof, or in the first few weeks of January, but maybe In Transit. But is there anything else? And you don't have to name names. Just give me a number. Do you think there's anything else that could open up a Broadway house for this spring season?
I don't think that there's going to – the only question mark is In Transit right now. I think that everything else that is going to close is expected to close, and there is a
– something in the wings.
Something in the wings waiting to get in there. So In Transit's the big question mark right now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I don't see anything else.
Yeah, I was going through and I was just thinking, man, there's some things that maybe – back in the fall, I thought had a chance to close, but with these kind of numbers, maybe they try to stick it out. Or who knows, maybe after January, they cut their losses and say, we're going to close. And then 2 months later in mid-April, something else comes in. But I tend to agree that unless In Transit closes, I'm not sure that anything else does before the big summer boom hits.
I'm looking here at On Your Feet. Oh, On Your Feet did 936,000.
Now, it's got a pretty high nut every week, apparently, but still, if it's getting close to $1 million, you know, before the holidays start, I mean, you'd have to think that it can do at least something decent in the down months before the summer tourists come back.
Yeah, and they were, I meant to mention it. They're doing something, they're making appearances. Oh, New Year's Eve. Is it New Year's Eve in Times Square?
Oh, I didn't know that. Are they? That's cool.
I might have just made that up. Hold on a second.
That sounds vaguely familiar. I follow Anna Viafania on Twitter, and I feel like I saw that. So that would make sense. Good for them. I
don't recall other Broadway shows doing something like that, but On Your Feet makes total sense.
Yeah. I could see maybe Jersey Boys did it at, 10, 15 years ago or whatever, 12 years ago. But I mean, I don't remember it. You're right. I mean, I think On Your Feet is what better way to not freeze your tuchus off in the middle of Times Square is to get on your feet and jump and make it happen or whatever.
Well, here it is. Whitney Golden Gore, 7-time Grammy Award winning international superstar Gloria Estefan to perform with Ana Villafante, Hector Rivera, and the cast of the Broadway musical On Your Feet from Times Square, New Year's Rockin' Eve with Ryan Seacrest. Additional performances by Mariah Carey, Dance, and Tom Rhett. So we didn't mention that, and that was announced a few weeks ago. So, they're doing really well at On Your Feet without having to go the traditional Broadway route, and that's awesome because I loved On Your Feet, and I was sort of concerned when the grosses took a dive a few months back.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden they turned around out of nowhere. I don't know what happened, but it was like over the course of like 2 weeks, they went from being like down in the low sixes to be in the upper sevens and low eights. It was a huge thing, and I think a lot of people are happy about that.
Yeah, that's great. So that's the only other thing that I was thinking about, but obviously they're doing good numbers, so they're going to be fine. That is great. All right. So next up, Long Runner, Chicago gets a return visit from Christopher Sieber.
Yeah, last night, Fran and Barry Weisler called on Mr. Reliable himself, Christopher Sieber, to slip into the fancy suits of Billy Flynn for the fifth time since 2004. The Tony-nominated Broadway mainstay replaces the aforementioned Paul Alexander Nolan, who exited on Sunday. No word yet on how long Sieber will stay in the role this time, but he's kind of done over some of his roles where he's just kind of been there for a few weeks to a few months, just kind of filling in until a new star comes in. And look, if you're going to bring somebody in as kind of like a I don't want to say placeholder, but someone to kind of fill the role until you get somebody else. You couldn't do much better than Christopher Sieber because he is fantastic and hilarious, and I'm sure he kills in this role. Chicago also currently stars Dillis Croman as Roxy Hart. Speaking of return Chicago star, Amara Faye Wright as Velma Kelly, Raymond Bokauer as Amos Hart, Natasha Yvette Williams as Matron Mama Morton, and R. Lowe as Mary Sunshine, who I think has actually been playing Mary Sunshine for close to 47 years.
That is true.
But I'm just saying.
That Christopher Sieber, he's one good-looking dude.
He is, and I will tell you, if I was as talented as him, I'd buy an island. I'd just buy an island somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
Or if I had Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen kind of money, maybe I'd buy an island then too. Who knows? Yeah, you're not. I think you know what I'm talking about. He actually lives on an island.
Yeah, he does. He does.
Because he played Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen's dad.
Yeah. All right. So
Completely off script. Speaking of Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen, the second season of Fuller House was released on Netflix on Friday, James. And did you hear what Broadway star is playing the, I can only imagine, suffering wife of Uncle Joey Gladstone?
Sutton Foster?
Wow, this is awkward. No, Laura Bell Bundy.
Ah.
Apparently, Laura Bell and Dave Coulier's characters have four kids together. Dave Coulier is about 22 years older than Laura Bell, so good for him.
You know, I'm sort of thinking in the recesses of my mind, didn't Kudish buy a small island in New Jersey or something like that, too?
I think you're thinking Sieber, but I don't know. Maybe Kudish did as well.
Huh. No, maybe it was Siebert. Yeah. All right. So next up, the classic comedy Room Service is eyeing a Broadway revival. Well, where is it going to go? Tell me.
I don't know. We tried to figure out some houses it could go into, but I don't know. But the 1937 screwball comedy Room Service by playwrights Alan Boris and John Murray is currently being prepped for its second Broadway revival and its first since 1953. The play is probably best known for the 1938 film adaptation that starred the Marx Brothers. Well, yesterday came word that producers Michael Pressman and Andrew Amos had optioned the show and were aiming for a slot in the 2017-2018 Broadway season. They hope to announce a cast sometime in the coming months. The original production was directed and produced by some nobody named George Abbott, and the 53 revival featured a 28-year-old Jack Lemmon. I sometimes forget that Jack Lemmon was ever not an old man, because I just kind of always think he's an old man. But fun fact for you, James, Room Service is the only Marx Brothers film that was not written specifically for them to star in. So it's not one of those shows. It's not like Day in Hollywood, Night in Ukraine, where it's really a Marx Brothers show or Animal Crackers or whatever. But it's actually a show that was originally on Broadway, no connection to the Marx Brothers. Then the Marx Brothers did the movie. So there might be some Marx Brothers performances, depending on who the director and the stars are. But it is not a Marx Brothers specific show.
Well, this is kind of maybe something that could go into the Hudson.
It would make sense. The only thing is like, I feel like I don't know the show, and I would imagine that nary a listener does as well. But it seems like we're getting a lot of screwball comedies coming lately. I mean, we've got The Play That Goes Wrong coming in. We had Noises Off a couple seasons ago. I guess that was just probably two seasons ago. So a lot of these classic screwballish shows. So we'll see. You got to love these old shows that are not necessarily, I guess I called it a classic in the script, but it's not necessarily one that jumps off the tip of your tongue when you're talking about great Broadway comedies.
Yeah, it counterbalances those seasons where we have things, such fun shows like Buried Child.
Or Glass Menagerie every 3 years.
But Sally Field.
I know.
Sally Field.
I know.
That's exciting. All right. Why don't you get us out of here, Matt?
All right. Thanks for listening to Today on Broadway. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Broadway Radio. And you can find me on Twitter at BWWMatt and subscribe to Something Like It Pop on iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play.
And my name is James Marino from BroadwayRadio.com and BroadwayStars.com. Matt and I were talking a little bit earlier. What are we going to do for these weeks coming up where there's not a lot of news? Should we take some time off, or do you guys have some suggestions for us? You know, tweet at us or email us at the website. Our email addresses are all there, and or contact us on Facebook. Let us know what you think, if you want us to do something different, or maybe we'll take a little time off. But let us know, and we will be back and talk with you tomorrow.